podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there and welcome to another podcast from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. On this week's podcast, Quiz Face, Pig Puns, I Listen to the Shipping Forecast, Dave Swears. We'll find out the last time you had an inappropriate public meltdown and we learn about your team building exercises. Plus, the show wins an award. Get stuck in.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
With Mini. Makes sense. To see why, search Mini Offers.
Good morning. This is the XFM Breakfast Show, and we thank you, don't we? If you voted for us to win the loaded laughter for funniest radio show, it worked, and we would like to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It was a great thing. It was a wonderful honour that we had yesterday. Good day was had by all, wasn't it, Dave?
It was brilliant.
It was a great day.
Thank you from me as well.
Thank you from Dave as well. Matt?
Can I just say thank you if you voted? Thank you.
We had a great day. We went to the award ceremony, a swanky West London club, didn't we?
Yeah.
Everyone was there. Rob Brydon was there. Who else was there? Vic and Bob were there.
Vicky from Geordie Shore.
Yeah, Vicky from Geordie Shore was there.
Next to her.
In a sort of less comedy way, but she was very funny. She was quite a charming girl.
We had some great chats about Scotch Corner while Baby Dave did.
Literally every conversation you had with that girl was about Scotch Corner.
She kept bringing it up.
Was it your only reference point with Vicky from Geordie Shore?
Yeah.
Was Scotch Corner.
Well, it's near Newcastle.
Right. Near enough then.
Yeah.
It was great. Although I do think we may have eschewed the whole drink responsibly thing, and we don't condone that. Mm. I mention it only because at one point, Dave got a bit maudlin. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then we moved on, didn't we? I made notes at the time
of little
moments.
Good.
Your thumb. What happened to your thumb?
Don't know. My thumb hurts.
Dave's thumb hurts. That's all we can tell you. There was a Peruvian.
Yeah. We got a goodie bag with loads of stuff in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Hair gel.
And we were walking through Piccadilly Circus, me and Dave, and he suddenly started emptying the bag out and giving all the stuff to this Peruvian couple who were about to fly home.
A random Peruvian couple on their way to the airport, and Dave's just going, well, you need some of this. And what was he doing?
The woman was hugging and kissing him. She was loving it. At one point, he put some hair putty on her head, balancing on her head.
It was really weird.
A strange moment. I wish I'd videoed it.
Matt knocked over a table.
Then
I knew that you were in trouble when you started taking the aftershave out of the goodie bags and spraying them both at once and then putting your face through in a bar, creating your own aftershave cocktails. At one point, work experience Steve was left alone. Just him, Vic Reeves and Chris Evans. Just chatting away, you, Reeves and Evans. The big guns are broadcasting. That was a lovely moment for you. I won't mention any names, but a little bit later on, Steve found himself in the middle of an argument between two very big celebrities.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're going at it, just arguing with each other about past slights. And then there's just work experience Steve in the middle, like a kind of umpire. I don't know why it fell to you to become the United Nations of these people. Dave, at one point, started to fall asleep as well.
XFM.
Who's on the line? Confirm listener, Jonty, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, Jonty, how are you? Nervous, excited, optimistic?
All three, I think.
All three rolled into one tight, jaunty ball of emotion.
That's the one.
Are you ready to play Quiz Face?
Yes.
Then, Jonty, let's get quizzical.
Quiz Shoe.
Well, there you are, Jonty. There you are. Today's Quiz Face is Quiz Shoe. Let's reveal the shoe. Okay, lovely. It is a Balmoral, Jonty. Unbelievable. Look at her. She's a beauty. Full leather, apron toe, two aglets, wing cut pinking, ankle high, front laced, of course, Jonty, with the bottom of the shoe's lacing sewn to the front of the shoe's throat. Elastic gore for a snug fit. It's going around the side now. Just small punches for classic broguing. Impish yet serious. The Balmoral really is an executive shoe. Jonty, are you happy with the Balmoral? Are you happy to go with that?
Yes.
Why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you be? All right. Let's lace it up.
Lace up.
Nine holes in each side, Jonty. Laces in hand. Which side are you starting with, Jonty? Left or right?
Left.
Left. That's a double left. Okay, a left squared. 18 holes in all. Let's get weaving.
Weaver.
We'll start with the left lace, as always.
Left lace.
Let's check you've got your power boom in place quickly.
Power boom.
And of course, now we just need to drop the lights.
Blackout.
Okay, there's a blackout, Jonty. This, of course, means everything we've just set up is now rendered irrelevant. Let's have just a moment's silence to consider that.
Round two.
Okay, Jonty, round two is shoe lobber. Let's start the bucket, please. Okay, Jonty, the bucket is on the move. It's moving down the conveyor belt. Lob the Balmorals into the bucket by shouting lob. You understand? Let's do this.
Yep.
Lob away.
Lob.
It's in. New shoe, please. Lob away.
Lob.
Yeah, that's in as well. New shoe, please, Jonty. Lob away.
Lob.
Okay, let's see if you can do the bonus shoe. New shoe, please. Lob away.
Lob.
Power boom.
Okay, that was it, Jonty. That's your power boom. Three shoes in a row, as we always say. Two for you and one for the wife. That scores you a power boom. Excellent work. Let's drop the music. Matt, Jonty's played his power boom. What's today's power boom, please?
Okay, let me just open the box.
Mm-hmm.
And now just unlock the case.
The key there.
Okay, I'm now going to open the envelope.
He's opening the envelope, John. Are you happy with that?
Yes.
Open the envelope, Matt.
Envelope.
Okay, it's in French.
Oh.
The power boom.
Here we go. Those Arctic Monkeys just joining in for fun there. Can you translate that, please, for John, just in case?
Yes, let me see. French is a bit rusty. Can you complete the following well-known British phrase?
And this, Jonty, this is for the Snow Patrol tickets and the mug. What's the phrase, Matt?
We are...
XFM.
XFM.
What would you say is the most kind of magical place in Britain? A place that's got everything. You know, just a beautiful sort of... You walk through, crazy things happen, everyone's happy.
Swindon?
Thanks, yeah, I did tell Matt to say Swindon there. Because Swindon is about to receive its own opera. Swindon the Opera, they're calling it. Swindon, colon, the Opera. I say receive, they're not receiving it. It says here that the people of Swindon are penning an opera. As if they're all just getting together in a town square and just sort of just penning an opera.
Just penning it.
That's what they're doing. That's what you do, you pen an opera.
That's what people say, yeah. Penning an opera.
Just penning an opera at the minute. Are you? Neither am I. £60,000 of lottery money. I've started that as if I'm going on some sort of Daily Mail rant. £60,000. I don't mind. I think that's good. Why not? £60,000 of lottery money into a Swindon opera.
Yeah, make them feel better about themselves.
They will love it. They'll pen the opera. Yeah. They'll sing the opera. It can't really, it's not going to transfer to the West End, is it, this opera?
See how successful it is, you know.
I mean, it's quite specific, and it's quite Swindon-based. Yeah. It could possibly do a tour of the West Country.
Yeah.
In regional theatres. But I don't think it's going to make Broadway. So £60,000, it covers everything that's happened in Swindon. It's very short. It says, the major events over the past 60 years, such as the football in 1969 when we won the League Cup.
Oh.
I'm guessing that'll be the main thing.
You forget that.
Yeah. The whole point is that it covers it from the perspective of regular Swindon folk. Famous folk from Swindon. It then goes on, even though it's completely contradicting the thing it's just said. Include Nick Hewer from The Apprentice and Melinda Messenger. I see a big love finale. You know, Nick and Melinda singing away into each other's faces. Yeah. It'd be terrific.
XFM.
There's a brewer in America. You know, he's worried about his customers not eating enough. And so he's come up with a pizza-flavoured beer.
Ooh.
Doesn't that sound like the worst thing you've ever heard in your life?
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
They're big on pizza in America, though. You know, they had it reclassified recently. Absolutely true. The government was persuaded by big business to reclassify pizza as a vegetable. Honestly true. Because it's got tomato paste on it.
Tomato, right, yeah.
Which is a fruit, technically. But they said, no, we said that they can have it on kids' school menus.
So it counts as one of your five a day?
Yeah.
A slice of pizza?
Yeah. Brilliant. It's the Jamie Oliver revolution. That's a Jamie Oliver show I want to see. Yeah. One of your five a day, amazing. You had pizza last night?
Yeah, I did, yes. I
went in a swanky restaurant.
I went to a restaurant with my girlfriend, Hannah.
Subtly dropping the word swanky. Went to, well, technically it was a restaurant. Pizza Hut, was it?
No.
Free buffet salad.
Oh,
just somewhere. It wasn't pizza. Just somewhere near my house.
Yeah, but you got upset.
I know, I'm quite a laid back kind of guy, yeah. You know. I'm relaxed.
Do you know, it's always the most highly strung people that talk about how laid back they are. Go on.
I mean, I'm easy going, guys.
Yeah. He's a chilled out entertainer. Yeah. That's what he is.
We went into the restaurant and we had a lovely meal.
Okay, great.
But they brought the bill over too soon, I believed, you know, before I'd asked for the bill.
Pre-dessert? Did you have dessert?
We'd had dessert, but literally our spoons had just gone down.
Instead of trying to get rid of you.
That's what crossed my mind, and this made me slightly angry. So I thought I'd give them a piece of my laid-back mind.
I'm really laid back, so I told them. So what happened? You just said, look,
I just explained to them, look, hey, guys, come on, I'm a laid-back guy. Just what you should have done is waited for me to ask for the bill.
Yes.
And then you can bring the bill over, rather than slamming it down on the table.
Yeah. Oh, they've not only made you feel unwelcome, but they have emasculated you.
They did
in front
bit.
Of your girlfriend.
Yes,
they've
exactly.
Kind of gone, he's not going, because you're supposed to ask for the bill. It's in the etiquette books, isn't it?
Exactly. So I had to make a stand. Yeah. So, yeah, I kicked off a bit.
Did you?
Told him to take the bill away until I needed it.
Which was how much later?
Literally 2 minutes later.
Wow. Get rid of it. I don't want the... Can I have the bill, please?
Yeah.
Did you do the little sign as well with your hands?
But I just... No, I didn't do that. But I had to make a point.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I've ever kind of lost it in a public environment like a restaurant.
You lost it in public.
Yeah.
I didn't lose it at this stage, but I was getting almost too much customer service from a waiter, and he just wanted a tip, basically. He was an American, he just wanted the tip, and he just kept asking me, hey, is that, are you enjoying me? How's the meal? And it was just like, yeah, it's fine. But I had to come up with something, and just as a joke, I sort of went, this wine, and he sort of looked at me and I went, this wine's a bit runny. And he sort of looked at me as if to say, you know, because runny is an unusual word to use for a liquid.
Yeah.
But he did offer to exchange it, at which point I went, no, it's fine. I like my wine runny. It's one of the many facts about me.
Yeah.
Have you ever lost it?
Me and my missus both lost it in a Greek restaurant recently when the waiter spilt wine all over our table. It went all over my lap, right? And so it was quite apologetic.
You should be wearing a blanket.
This old Greek guy, but he comes over, wipes it up, and they go, look, it's all over my trousers, look. And then he said to Katie, my fiance, you better get that on the wash tonight. You better wash that up tonight.
Oh!
And she went mental.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station. On the planet. XFM.
Your steam train shoes that you got for your birthday. I mean, what have you received for your birthday so far?
Nothing.
Yeah. So you got no good presents or bad presents. I wonder if you're getting bad presents. Because I got thinking about, like, terrible presents that people have received for birthdays or given. For birthdays or Christmas, whatever. Have you got anything like terrible you've given or received?
Well, literally, the last birthday I had, my dad, as one of my presents, gave me a little screwdriver to use to bleed my radiators.
Wow. Practical.
It's practical, but...
It's like a key thing, isn't it?
That was the key to your manhood. What your dad was doing
was
handing over the key to manhood to you.
I wasn't ready for it.
And instead, you're just talking about it on the radio, like, a key to bleed a radiator is not an appropriate gift for a man in his late
20s. I don't think it is.
Really?
No, I could have got my own bleeding radiator key.
Oh, language. Calm down, Dave. I know you're angry, okay? It's obviously had an effect on you. But you need to just dial it back, all right? You're broadcasting. You're broadcasting, okay?
Very good.
I've talked about this before, and I hope my mother forgives me, but I received for one Christmas... Well, I knew what I was getting, because here was the clue. My mum asked me if I had a favourite type of fire extinguisher. And I just thought, okay, I think I'm getting a fire extinguisher. And I said, I do not have a current favourite fire extinguisher of any sort, really. I've never really thought about it. No real preferences. And sure enough, lo and behold, Christmas Day, sitting around, I get a lovely oblong box, open it up, fire extinguisher. Suitable for liquid fires. So she's obviously gone, I don't know what kind of fire extinguisher, what I'm going to do here. And my dad's clearly gone, liquid fires? They're quite popular these days, aren't they, with the kids?
Yeah.
So I got a fire extinguisher suitable for liquid fires. Anything from you there, Matt?
To my eternal shame, when I was about 8, I once bought my mum a tin opener for Christmas.
That's just so embarrassed ever since.
It's so horrible. A horrible present.
No, it's all right.
But
it's
it was
good.
Like, it was like a, you know, you had the old style tin openers. This was a new one where you should clip on top of the tin and twist, and they were quite all the rage at the time. But just to buy her a kitchen implement was just horrible.
It's saying two things to you, Mum, isn't it? It's saying your place is in the kitchen. And your job is to feed me. Those are the messages that you were giving out. We are
Quiz Shoe.
Hi, it's confirmed listener Jonty, and I just won the first ever XFM breakfast show confirmed listener mug. I played my power boom, and look at me now. I'm better than you. I'm better than you all. I'm the best ever. Thank you, XFM. Thank you, Danny Wallace. We
are XFM. Here is a story. It's a lady. You know these micro animals you can get these days? Very fashionable.
Oh, yeah.
Get a micro horse. I've always wanted a micro horse. You see a micro horse, you want one. Just a tiny, like
they are good.
A horse for a toddler. Oh,
yeah.
Sort of thing. And you can get other ones. I think, I'm not sure if I'm making this up, but I thought you'd get little tiny elephants as well.
Really?
But that might have been a cartoon. I'm not sure. I think that was happening. Anyway, this lady, she wanted to buy a micro pig, right? She's into the micro pigs. And they're about two stone in weight. And she paid this fella £350 from a guy who's, you know, a legit breeder, is what she thought. Anyway, it grew, and it's kind of kept growing, and it moved past the two stone sort of micro pig version. How big do you think it is so far?
Has it ballooned?
It's ballooned in weight. It's 17 stone.
Oh, wow.
It's 5 foot long. This is not a micro pig.
It's far from it. It's the Vietnamese potbelly.
This is a giant pig. Yeah, this is a bigger pig than I've ever seen. And there's a picture of this so-called piglet, and it's just going in the cupboards, and the lady there, she's just, Janie her name is, she's standing over the pig, making a face at the camera as if to say, this isn't the pig I ordered. But, you know, it strikes me that it's kind of her fault. But the headline isn't great. You got so much to work with here. You got all these puns to work with. And it just says, about that micro pig you sold me.
Wow,
exactly.
That's awful.
Come on, up your game. What's going on? The Sun is they're the king of the puns, aren't they? They've let themselves slide. They didn't even try. So perhaps it's down to us this morning to improve that headline. So, Dave, you're basically the pun king of this show. You got a lot to work with. There's a micro pig. It turned into a massive pig. Yeah. You've got bacon, you've got sausage, you've got crackling.
What about micro pig?
Instantly. Look at that.
Micro
pig.
Micro.
That's going to look good written down.
That's going to look terrific written down. Certainly much better than said out loud.
Maybe a little hyphen between the my and then the grow.
Why not? Go crazy.
Spitballing.
Pig in massive.
Oh, nice.
That's okay, isn't it? The pig cheek of it.
Brilliant.
Like that one. Bringing home the bacon and the sausage and the pork loin. It's not bad, is it?
Yeah,
you got any?
This little piggy had roast beef? Question mark.
I think you're reading a lot into that story.
This little piggy went wheelie big all the way home.
That is terrific. I enjoy that. And you could have that all the way across the, you know,
yeah,
I think,
I know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey,
with that.
Snout wrong with that.
XFM.
The text just in saying it's -8 in Bracknell. Matt, the people of Bracknell are suffering. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, the wrap-up warm. I'm seriously thinking about wearing, like, taking a blanket on the tube with me. Because I'm sick of it being this cold.
Already?
And I don't care if I look like an idiot, because I'll be warm.
Well, you just keep your headphones on when you leave the studio as well.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Warm me up a tree, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That was the first thing he said to me this morning. He didn't even say hello, because we entered the building at the same time. I was like, all right, Matt. He goes, I'm seriously thinking.
I am.
Well, taking a blanket on, like a baby.
It'll be worth it. Yeah. Just wrap it around your shoulders.
Casey could push you and your infant child around in little buggies and just wrap you up warm. Blanket on the tube. It's not a bad idea.
That's your
official advice, is it?
Yes. Start it.
Okay, good.
Start
get on
doing
with it,
people.
So let's start it in Bracknell and roll it out nationally. It'll be absolutely fine.
XFM.
We've been asking you, and we know, don't worry, we know you're generally laid back. You know, we know you're laid back. Don't worry about that. But, you know, every now and again, you lose it. Even the most laid-back people can lose it publicly. That's what we're asking you about the last time you did that. Glenn in Greenhithe says, quite a laid-back kind of guy, but at least once a week, I publicly lose it in Asda at the self-service checkouts. They're always telling me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not wrong. But generally, though, I should say about Glenn, he is generally quite laid-back.
Yes, he is, yeah.
Matt?
Confirmed with the Josh from Essex. Yeah. He's a really relaxed guy.
Yeah.
But in France, he once lost it in the metro station when they fined him €40 for using a ticket he'd already used that day. Grumpy face. He didn't even know he had used it. And none of the six people that detained him spoke English.
Yeah, but usually, generally, he's pretty relaxed. Anonymous says, quite a laid-back kind of guy, but we went to a well-known club that serves breakfast and found a rubber band at the bottom of a drink. We told the guy, he didn't really say a lot. We saw him show a colleague, and they both laughed at it. Then to add insult to injury, they gave us the bill with the drink still on. We left, heads held high, not paying for said drink. Excellent. Yeah. But generally, they're pretty laid back.
Yeah. Confirmed Mr. Leroy says every day he suffers from being intolerant with other people's driving, otherwise known as road rage. But he is quite a laid back guy the rest of the time.
Yeah.
So that's fair enough.
That's fair enough. You can, yeah. in game, says Nat. And Nat, pretty relaxed most of the time.
Yeah.
She says, in game, the video game shop, they had a mahoosive, she says, display. Some kind of Call of Duty 4-style game. However, they didn't actually have this game in stock, so I calmly removed every single item from the display in cold anger. That's amazing. Confirm, listener, Laura, when did you last lose it in public?
I was at a swimming pool a few years ago when I had a slight incident of pool rage. there was a foreign lady swimming in the wrong direction. She couldn't obviously see the sign at the end of the lane. Most polite people would have just had a quiet word with her and said, "You're going the wrong way." But I stood up in the middle of the lane and just shouted at her, "What the hell are you doing?"
Oh, no! just straight from nothing to rage.
Absolutely.
And you're quite laid back the rest of the time. You say quite a laid back lady.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what happened the next time you went in the pool?
There was a sign in reception reminding members to be polite to one another.
All because of you, Laura. Although in a weird way, you've made the world a better place through your rage.
I'd like to think so.
Thanks, Laura.
Confirm listener Johnny in Hampton. I'm constantly angry when bars have cocktails on their list that the staff can't make. Now, I'm a laid-back kind of guy. But if my vodka martini is not dry, as I asked, I will send it back. My record is sending back 5 in a hotel bar. Happy Friday.
Wow. Si in Rickmansworth. Well, how would you describe Si, Matt?
He's pretty relaxed.
Pretty relaxed guy, isn't he? Pretty laid back. Well, he tried to place a bet at a major bookies. He only had his credit card with him, and he was told he couldn't use it. So he said to the customer service person, don't be ridiculous. He proceeded to then log on to their website, open an account, top up the credit card, and place his bet on his phone, all while stood at the counter in plain view of him. That's terrific. Yeah. What a statement. Any others then?
Unconfirmed listener Brad in Acton.
Oh, yes.
You are confirmed there,
You're
Brad.
Confirmed, yeah.
It's odd because I'm generally a laid-back fun lover. But once after a night out of the O2, I stole the designated driver's car, spun it round in the amazingly ample car park, got out, shouted obscenities into the air, and proceeded to walk the 20 miles home. The Blackwall Tunnel is a mad place at night. you don't really sound like a laid-back fun lover.
But, but you showed them.
Yeah.
You showed them on your 20-mile walk home.
XFM.
I had a strange, I was just thinking, I forgot to tell you earlier, I had a strange kind of journey in this morning.
Oh, yeah.
It was my own doing, but I looked like an oddball. So, you know, I was up a little bit earlier this morning than normal, and I got in the car. A car comes to collect me and bring me in, and sometimes, you know, I listen to the radio. If the guy's not already listening to his chosen station, whatever that station may be, I'll sometimes ask if I can listen. And because I was early, I wanted to hear a bit of the news. And so I said, can you pop it on Radio 4? And I think I can mention Radio 4 and XFM. I don't think there's a direct crossover. They're not big rivals, you know. We can coexist in this radio landscape together quite happily. So he pops it on, but the news isn't quite ready. And what it is, it was the shipping forecast. Mm. Now, you know how that sounds.
Yeah.
Sounds insane. Yeah. And this man, he wasn't from Britain. The driver wasn't from Britain. So I don't think, he wouldn't be as familiar as we are with like the shipping forecast.
It's quite a quirk.
Well, it's a bit odd, isn't it? And do you know how long it goes on for?
Yeah.
It's about 4 minutes. And it's just a man just saying things like Dogger 5, Western 3, good. Monty 11, winds from the east, good. Yeah, like that. And it sounded for all the world like I was a spy picking up like really weird code words from like 1950s Moscow or something. Dogger 5. Also, that's what they say, dogger. You know, it's one of the places. That's a strange word with the connotations it has nowadays. Perhaps I was getting instructions to something else. So I have to listen there in kind of pained embarrassment as the shipping forecast goes on and on and on. And the man must be thinking, well, he wanted this on the radio. He must know what this means. So he's looking at me in the rearview mirror every now and again, and I'm having to kind of make wise faces as if I'm going, oh, right, this is the information I require. Then it was the news, and then it was thought for the day, where a man comes on and just talks about kind of the Queen and our Lord and Saviour and all these things. So now I look like a spy and a very religious man. And then it goes straight into a 15-minute Farming Today programme. So this guy's thinking, what unusual interests this spy has? Or is he just picking up all these code words? So I won't be listening to Radio 4 on the way in any longer. What will I be listening to, Matt?
Keep it XFM.
Keep it XFM.
XFM.
With Sky Sports on in the studio. I don't really understand it. It's always with the sound down, don't we, Dave?
Yeah.
Because it kind of gives you something to do. You've got a little moment. You can just have a look at some men. Just, not, you know, just kicking a ball around.
Yeah, then I'll make a sporting comment or observation.
Often you'll do that,
so
won't you?
And Matt.
And I'll say something like, let's try it now. You make one. And
okay. So City and Villa this weekend.
Yeah,
that's going to be a big game.
Two different teams, isn't it?
Yep.
Playing the football. The games that they do, and why the guy in the goalkeeper, man, he is such a sport, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What a sport.
Yeah.
They're trying to kick the ball, aren't they? And they're trying to score a goal, aren't they? Shooting a goal, and then he's always there, isn't he? With his clever little moves, stopping them.
Both teams
it's like,
have
like chill out.
Both teams have them though.
Yeah, both teams have them, but still, it's such a. I mean, if they didn't have them, it would be a much quicker game.
Yeah, it would be easier.
Much quicker game.
Yeah, you make a valid point.
It's always one on every team. There's always one, isn't there? It's always that guy. Those individual suits that he wears. We are
weather. Ah, cold, cold winter, slumbering in the open air, yet he wears on his smiling face a dream of spring. A high of just 1 degree today. We
are XFM. Team building, Matt. Team building. Have you ever been on a team building exercise?
Yes. I went paintballing once. With some colleagues.
Man.
It was awful.
Was it?
Long bus journey. People trying to be friendly with each other.
Oh,
the boss was victimised by the head of sport.
Really?
Covered in paint. It's horrible.
But your heart would sink if you got that little message, you know, left on your work phone or whatever, going, yeah, we're having a team building exercise.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be like trust exercises in a travel lodge somewhere outside Trowbridge, followed by a buffet and a Wetherspoons. What are we going to do on this thing? Oh, well, you're going to have to fall backwards off a table and be caught by Minty in accounts.
Yeah.
And you're like, Minty, he's got bad elbows. Well, it's a trust exercise, isn't it? You've got to trust Minty. Well, apparently, team building is a waste of time. A poll of more than a thousand workers has revealed that more than half believe these events do little to improve morale. Now, it seems that's your experience,
Matt. I certainly agree with that, yeah.
Do you? They just say that going out for a drink is more beneficial.
Much better, yeah. Just buy us a few drinks, boss.
I like how I went from going out for a drink to buy us some drinks, boss.
Yeah.
Very much summing up Matt Dyson's corporate attitude. But have you, I mean, what? So you've been sort of paintballing.
Yeah,
have you been on trust exercise things? Have you been on these sort of work do's?
Yeah, kind of. It wasn't as glamorous as paintballing, though. I'm a bit jealous of that one. Well, we just had a team building exercise with inside the building, so we didn't even leave the premises.
That's how to really boost morale.
Yeah, and it was like a role play exercise where you had to choose, or I think you were given someone else to impersonate from within the team. I don't know how they thought this was going to be a good idea, because it just pretty much offended everyone in the team building
bitterness
exercise.
Bitterness will pour out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you think of me, is it? That's what you think of me. That's the impressions you do of me.
So it had the opposite effect.
Really? Team destruction.
Dismantling.
Just realised, you're here as well. Work experience, Steve. What's the weirdest thing they've made you do?
You once touched my bottom.
That's not. That was not. No one. That was not proven.
It's on tape.
Shut up, Steve. We are. XFL. It's Friday, everybody. It's Friday.
Woo.
Still got today to get through, but then it's the weekend. What are you up to, Dave? You're working, aren't you, as well?
I am working. Well, on Sunday, I'm actually covering on the Gordon Smart show, so I'm producing Gordon Smart on Sunday show from midday.
So you're producing someone else?
Yeah. So I should have told you a bit.
How do you feel about that, Danny?
Well, you know, it's, I guess it's a different it's a different slot and everything, but I mean, Dave started describing it not as a lunchtime show. What do you call it? Lunchtime breakfast?
Yeah,
he's just going, I don't really want to... I don't see it as a midday show. I see it more as lunchtime breakfast.
People are rising from their pits at midday on a Sunday. You know, I think listeners see it as a breakfast show, so that's the mindset I'm going with.
What's you got planned? Are you going to kind of...
I've got a few ideas.
Uh-huh. Are you allowed to talk about them, or...? It's just a bit annoying. You should be coming up with ideas for this show, not Gordon Smart.
Do you want to tell you now?
Yeah.
A couple.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was thinking about kicking it off. Gordon's top track at 12, I was thinking.
Just to kick the show off?
Because
you recall that every day for the last 6 months we've done My Big Song at 7. So it's kind of...
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. It's different to that, though.
Well, it's different. In terms of alliteration, it's different. But, all right, what else?
No, it kicks off the show. It's good. I was thinking about some sort of kind of loyalty system that we could reward our listeners with on the Sunday.
What do you mean?
So, like, if they've listened for a certain amount of time...
Yeah.
You could kind of recognise that and acknowledge
the fact. What kind of system is this?
I don't know. I don't know, really. I don't know what we call it yet, but it's like it would definitely involve some sort of colour coding to signify.
What's your next idea? Because that's annoying.
All right, smart stats, I was thinking.
What?
Smart stats. So you kind of... As the show draws to a close...
the show.
Kind of.
So you'd analyse, you'd analyse what you've learned that day.
Yeah, so well, something like that, yeah. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You're thinking it sounds a bit like Danny Analytics.
Yes.
But it's very different.
That.
It's very,
what else?
Very
what
different.
Else is on there? Look, give me that list. Give me that list of ideas. Look at this. Matt, look at this. Smart face.
What?
It's a quiz based around Gordon Smart's face.
No.
This is what it says.
I know.
You've written that down. Smart face.
You need the right angle.
Happy hour. What's happier? Furious geeks.
Yeah. I was thinking what we
like
could
angry
do
nerds.
Well, no, but it's different to angry nerds. Furious geeks.
You've got a topical thing you're going to do called "Is there anything you'd like to tell us?" What? Smart face. Happy hour. What's happy hour?
Well, you know how people
like good
often
news,
have good things to say about the day?
Yes.
Well, I was thinking we could text in and maybe finish it with some sort of, not happy, that's
terrific.
That's really happy.
Get out and take Gordon Smart with you.
XFM.
I feel the need for some appropriate music. This is the best we could do. So the story in the paper, a lady bought a micro pig. 17 stones so far, dominating her life. Taking up most of the living room. And the headline wasn't great. The headline was, about that micro pig you sold me. We can do better than that.
Yeah.
And we have done better than that. Matt.
Here we go then. Swindled.
Yes.
Boom, pow, shoe. Hood oinked.
Hood oinked?
Hood oinked.
Okay.
Ben in Hampton Hill.
Very nice.
Piggy Smalls.
Piggy Smalls.
Hold on then. What about Notorious P.I.G.?
There's a compilation album coming. Tiny Swiney goes Big Pig. That's from Tim. This is Trotter Micro Pig. Ricky from Chelmsford. Like Notter. Trotter.
Yeah.
I don't have to explain it. Big Pig Rig in Ham Gram Scam from Rick, who just says, you're welcome. Jim in Tooting. What ham monster? Very good. James in Essex. Liar, liar. Pets on fry-ups. Very good. Your pigs trot big. From Brad. Sow, how big does this get? Simon.
Yes.
Any others?
Did they buy it from Del Boy Trotter?
Oh.
Ask Steve.
It's almost like a satire on the story.
To be honest, I'm a little pig sick.
Okay.
Alan the cabbie. And owner of pig becomes an angry bird.
Yes. That's a nerdy one there. Confirm us to Chris. What's yours?
I've made a pig mistake.
Pig mistake. It's a solid one, that one. Yeah. It's a solid one. To market. To buy a fat pig. Home again. Biggity big. Well done, Nat. That's great. And that would take up most of the page as well. Yeah. Meaning the story could be even shorter. Do you have any more there?
Another one from Gareth here. Bacon man.
Yes.
Swindles lady.
That's good. That's got everything.
It's a double whammy, that.
Yeah,
one.
But it effortlessly tells the story as well. Yeah. You've got to be pigging me. From Ben. The pig issue. Dev. Pig? This isn't the snort I ordered. From Steve. Simple one. Pot belly. Very good.
Good.
Confirm Mr. Billy, what's yours?
Pig owner left scratchings her head. Pig puns are fun.
Pig puns are fun.
Yeah.
Pig puns are fun. I sent a new regular feature. Pig puns, Dave. What do you think? Can we get that done?
I think we might have pretty much exhausted all the pig puns that there are just this morning.
Yeah.
So maybe
Smelt
maybe
wrong with that. Just say the same one again.
XFM. With Mini. Makes sense. To see why, search Mini Offers.
Well, this is a great little story. It's about an Irish guy. He's won a trip to the Oscars because he entered a competition and he beat 782 other entrants to win this competition. Oh. And the competition was, who looks the most like George Clooney? And there's a picture of him here. I can only imagine that none of the other entrants had heads or faces.
Wow.
Because he's a nice fella, you know, looks good and everything, but he looks a bit more like a man you'd see in an advert for a local Foxtons, you know, or like a junior minister who's involved in EU farming regulations or something like that. I'll show you, we'll put it on our Facebook page as well.
It's up there now, I think.
It's up there now, yeah, the picture at facebook.com.
Wow. Nothing like him.
Nothing.
Different hair, different face.
Some of the comments there from people who have taken issue with it, because I imagine the organisers must have just gone, oh, it's fine, we'll just pick a winner. And it was held in a whiskey bar. How do they get 782 men who don't look anything like George Clooney into one bar? There's some great quotes there from people who've got quite angry about it. What criteria was used, said one person? Possibly just one, that he'd be male and have hair. Which is sort of fair enough. So another person from a George Clooney fan site said, we saw your article and want to pass on our congratulations to David Glendon on winning this competition. We were wondering what criteria you used to judge this competition, because this man does not look like George Clooney. And those are the words of the George Clooney fan site.
Yeah, they should know.
They should know. They know what he looks like. They've put lots of, you probably download George Clooney wallpaper there. Yeah. Anything. So this guy, this poor guy, he's won this competition, and already everyone's going, you should not have won this competition. Have you ever won anything, Dave, that perhaps you shouldn't have won?
Not that I shouldn't have won. Of course, I am the fourth biggest drinker in Britain, thanks to Britain Binge Nation 2.
Which, by the way, was the best Binge Nation.
It was, wasn't it? That's often, what I've always said.
Often sequels are disappointing. not so with that UK Gold show, whatever it was. Yeah. Matt, have you ever won?
There was the East Midlands Under 10s Newsreader of the Year competition. I came third in that.
That's so, right, of course I forgot you came third in the East Midlands Under 10s Newsreading competition.
And that inspired me to go on to this job.
To work harder.
Yeah.
What became of the two under 10-year-olds who were
good
better
question.
Than you?
Good question.
Where are you
I'm
now?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, where are they now? You can laugh in their faces.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good that you won that, and that set you up for your career in news.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Coming third, yeah.
But you don't rest on your laurels, that's the thing about you.
No.
You know, you don't, you're not afraid to take risks, are you?
Yeah, yeah,
quite experimental.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dave said earlier, you're the Radiohead of newsreading.
Really, did he?
And the reason I say that is during your broadcast this morning, 6:30, I happened to be sitting next to you, and I heard you try new things with your,
the funny
with your newsreading. Let's have a listen.
XFM News.
Just coming up to 6:30 Monday morning, I'm Matt Dyson with the top stories you're waking up to. Fabio Capello says he disagrees with the decision. Excuse me.
What was that?
That was me breathing with a very sore, dry throat.
It sounded like you disagreed with whatever Fabio Capello said.
Boom.
Disagrees with the decision.
There it is.
Excuse me.
I love it. You see, you don't. That's what I mean. You know, you're not just going to rest easy. You're going to try and bring new things.
Me to this day. That's why I missed out on that number one spot. My breathing problems.
Oh no. We've asked you, what are the weirdest things your boss has made you do? There's some odd stuff going on.
You've
right
been
there.
Penning some good texts this morning.
You start, Matt.
Okay, once my boss made our team, 8 of us, tie ourselves to a piece of rope and go around Chelmsford for a morning doing tasks. The idea...
Doing tasks.
Yeah.
Tasks.
It was meant to bond us as a team, but actually resulted in arguments, one person getting teary and another chain-smoking.
Really? While tethered to 7 others.
Anna from Chelmsford,
though. Nancy in Streatham was a strange relationship with her boss, because her boss makes her put her makeup on for her before client meetings. So she sits there while Nancy has to paint her face.
Wow,
God, it's a risk though, isn't it? I bet Nancy's tempted sometimes to just paint her up as a clown or something. That'd be amazing. Yeah. Why is this makeup taking so long today, Nancy? It's been 8 hours. This comes out like Planet of the Apes. Yeah. What else?
Confirmed listener Emlyn in Clapham. I'm a vegetarian, and at uni my boss made me put me on chicken gutting duties permanently. Also, another one says my boss is constantly frothing at the mouth.
Frothing at the mouth?
Frothing at the mouth. It puts me off my milky coffee.
Wow. I thought that only happened in like cartoons and comics, but I guess the little that little bit of spittle on either side of the lip area.
The corner mouth spittle.
Goodness
thing.
Me. Karina says, my boss made me dress as a snowflake with the rest of the design department for the Christmas party. He let us have the afternoon off, though, to decorate our costumes with sheets and paper crowns. It was lovely. That's nice. Just lovely. We should make Matt dress as a snowflake.
I don't think we should.
Okay.
Confirm. I nearly did my hiccup thing again then.
There it is.
Confirm listener Jeff says, my boss in New Zealand made us all dress up in silly fancy dress. He then asked us to hand out work leaflets. We got drunk, so it became a laugh.
Nice. T in Chiswick. I'm an estate agent. I was late for work, so my boss made me go into the centre of Richmond Station and do star jumps. Wow. Oh. While the rest of the office stood watching and drawing more attention to me. Wow, that's a good one.
It's a good punishment.
Julia, her boss made her stand on a toilet to paint the ceiling in the bathroom in a full suit. That's not Julia's department. There was one there. Did you see the one from Danny the Plasterer?
Yes.
What was that one? Have you got that one?
Yeah, he says, when I left school, I worked in an estate agent's. Every Friday, my boss made me walk around the streets pulling every other estate agent's advertising boards down from outside people's houses.
That's illegal.
Dirty
he was making
tricks.
You. Yeah,
dirty
making
tricks.
You break the law. I'm so sorry about that, Danny. I hope everything's all right now. What about Alex in Loughborough?
My boss made me shave his back after a day of working on a building site. Shave your own back, boss face.
Yeah, exactly. Shave your own back, boss face. Made him shave his back, Matt.
Unbelievable.
What would it take for you, apart from a couple of Bacardis, to shave a man's back?
It would take more than that. Yeah, it would take at least a slap-up three-course meal.
Would it? Yeah. You're a cheap date.
XFM.
And just as that was ending, we all had to tell Steve to hold a thought, Working Spirit Steve, just to kind of go, hold it, button it. You know, we're going to save this thought, whatever it is. But let's just do it live on the radio. What do you want to say?
I just was going to say that the promo is ready.
Okay, everyone. Just to let everybody know listening, there will be like a little advert for the show played throughout the day here on XFM, but it is ready. It is ready. And what time is it now? It's only 9:18. Yeah. Already ready.
If you've ever wondered what Steve looks like, by the way, it's a combination of all four cast members of The In-Betweeners.
Genuinely is. Yeah, Steve is The In-Betweeners.
Yeah.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station.
On the planet, XFM.
We are now going to do something very exciting, aren't we, Dave?
Yes, we are.
You get excited about this, you make me leave the room when it happens. I have to stand out there like we're on Mr. and Mrs. or something like that, while you line up the mystery caller.
Yeah.
This could be someone that we've talked about in the past week, maybe a survey in the paper. In the past, we've heard celebrities as well. I wonder what it will be. So, I've got 60 seconds. Yeah, this bit, yeah, of course. Right, join in.
Guess who?
Always worth it. Always worth it. So, 60 seconds on the clock. The caller is ready?
Yes.
Let's go. Caller, are you there?
I am indeed.
You're a gentleman caller.
I am.
How long have you been a gentleman?
For almost all of my life.
And how long is that?
28 years.
You're a 28-year-old gentleman.
Yes.
Are you in London?
I am not in London.
Are you outside London?
I am indeed outside London.
Somewhere in England?
Somewhere in England.
Are you a celebrity of any kind?
Not at all.
Have we met in any way?
No, we have not.
Is this to do with a survey?
It is not to do with a survey.
Is it to do with some academic research?
No, it's not to do with any academic research.
Were you at the centre of some kind of scandal?
No, not a scandal.
A story, though?
A story indeed.
In the last 2 days?
Yes, the last 2 days.
10 seconds.
God. So I know you've been in the newspapers, and we've talked about you on the show.
You have indeed.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I was too. Sometimes I get it straight away, don't I?
Yeah,
within seconds.
It's a tricky one
today.
Not today.
Caller, would you please reveal yourself and let me know what the story is?
Yep, I am Matt Fox, and I'm the librettist of Swindon the Opera.
Oh! Yay! Fantastic! So you're the librettist for this Swindon-based opera.
I am indeed.
Now, if memory serves, the people of Swindon are so in love with Swindon that they have decided that the only way to truly celebrate Swindon is through opera.
Indeed, they have.
And you're celebrating the life of Swindonians?
Swindonians.
Through song. Did you write any of the songs?
I've written all of the songs.
You wrote all the songs?
Every word that's in it, I have written.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's the reaction been so far? Have people gone, yes, it's about time Swindon had its own opera?
Well, the reaction's been interesting. A lot of people are basically just asking why.
Right. Which brings me to my first question. Why?
Why not? Really, if Alan Nicole Smith can be the subject of an opera, then why can't Swindon?
Yeah, absolutely. And how long is this opera? Operas tend to be quite long. Have you managed to fill this opera up with Swindon-based songs?
Yes, I think we're going for about a two and a half hour kind of thing.
So wow, 2.5 hours of Swindon-based opera. Talk me through some of the songs.
The whole thing's kind of driven by a sort of human story. So, we start off, it's very tongue-in-cheek, so we really start off saying, why write an opera about Swindon? And that's kind of our opening chorus, really.
Okay.
So we sort of hit that one on the nose straight away. It's just driven by made-up Swindon family and kind of what they go through over a 60-year period.
So it celebrates the life of ordinary Swindon folk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the last musical I went to see was Legally Blonde the musical. I was the only man in there and the only person not wearing pink. And the chorus is, oh my God, you guys, which haunts me to this day. What is the one phrase that people are going to come away from Swindon the Opera singing?
Well, blimey, that's interesting. I think what we've got Swindon. This is an opera about Swindon, a proper opera about Swindon, a people's opera about Swindon, Swindon the Opera.
Wow. XFM. Hey, what have we learnt today? I wonder what Matt's learnt. Matt?
Well, someone called Miss Guilfoyle tweeted earlier to say that she was actually crying this morning during the show. The arrival of this tweet in our timeline prompted a confused response from the team, desperately trying to remember when the LOL Fest may have occurred.
Doesn't bode well, does it? Doesn't say a lot about our show. We're going, how can this compliment be true?
When could it have been? Or maybe Miss Guilfoyle was just very sad this morning, chopping onions
Who knows?
It's still unclear what prompted the teary reaction.
Absolutely. Dave.
Yes, we launched a brand new feature today based around Danny's infant son called Early Learning X-List.
Yes.
Worry and fear then struck the studio as we didn't receive one single entry for this competition. Surely this competition would have sparked a response, we all thought, as we all continued to frantically click refresh on the text system. Yeah. It turns out technology had indeed stabbed us in the back, and the feature was a huge success, meaning we shall be returning to the Early Learning X-List in the near future.
Depressing. We got like 3 or 4 entries, all of them wrong, and then it just stopped. Topics discussed on air today that aren't usually covered on XFM included the status quo song You're in the Army Now, Radio 4's shipping forecast, Radio 4's thought for the day, Radio 4's farming today. I'll be honest, only Radio 4 really talks about these things until now. Topics discussed off air included the band Arcadian Fire, a hamster called Steve, whether you call a lift or a lift calls you, that cat that ran on that pitch and being surrounded by foxes when you're trying to leave the house.
XFM.
Well, there you go. That was the podcast for the week. Remember, you can listen live every day on 104.9 FM from 6:30 or from 7:30, depending on which time you wake. But for another week, the award-winning XFM Breakfast Show says goodbye. Goodbye.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
With Mini. Makes sense. To see why, search Mini offers.